Mike and Miana gather playing some games. But I pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the R-H-A-P-B-M-B. Mike and Miana gather playing some games. But I pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the R-H-A-P-B-M-B.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the RHAP B&B for the premiere Survivor 42. My name is Mike Bloom. We've been counting down the days like triangles till this day finally came. Survivor 42 is back. Things may look the same, but they're completely different, such is the case on the B&B. First, let me bring in the similar elements, if you will. Of course, the co-owner of the B&B, Liana Boris. Liana, how are you?
I'm doing fabulous. I have 51 reasons why I'm so excited to be here. Let me count them all for you, but I hope I get two opportunities to do so. Yeah, I'm so happy to be talking about Survivor 42. We finally get the premiere after all of the preseason buildup. And so it's nice to actually see these castaways interacting with one another and to get a sense of what the twists are slash are staying the same to be. So I'm all about it. And I can't wait to break everything down today.
Yeah, well, you counted 51 reasons. Dude, I only got 11, so I'm not sure. I think I need to go back to counting school. I'm so happy to really cover ourselves in guest opportunities this season, and we start off on a very fun note. If you have been checking out the reality TV Wrap Up scene, you, of course, listened to these two collaborate on Love is Blind. I'd like to call this version Love is Blind Side in honor of Survivor. First, let me welcome in someone who I think is more of an expert on first impressions than even Tori, considering that she covers both Married at First Sight and Love is Blind, Asia Welch. Asia, how are you?
Hey, Mike. Hey, Liana. I am great. I was thinking about, okay, who's going to be on this podcast? I was like, it's Mike, Liana, my awesome co-host on Love is Blind. And then I was like, you know what? Unlike Drea, I know these people. So it's going to be fine.
All right. Well, hopefully you protected your vote because I'm feeling a little risky from your other co-host here. I'm so excited to welcome someone who would probably have some thoughts about Harry Potter if she was asked about them on the island, Mary Kwiatkowski. Mary, how are you?
You know, I'm so excited to make it here while I'm on vacation. I mean, I may not be at Universal Studios, but that hasn't stopped me from having a couple butter beers. Am I right, fellow Harry Potter nerds? You know what I mean?
Oh, wow, I feel so bonded to you, Mary. I don't know why. Are you wearing blue? I don't know.
I don't know. And I just want to say up front, Zach was giving me all the signs of a person who had the lightest knowledge of Harry Potter. The lightest.
I just love that he has the look. I mean, here's the thing. I really love what Tori is bringing to the season. And I will give her kudos for, like, legitimately, from my perspective, outmaneuvering Zach to not be the first boot of the tribe. But, man, one of my favorite parts of this premiere, which I really enjoyed overall, is just Tori's, from our perspective, very base level thing of like, okay, you're a Gen Z, you must love Harry Potter. This is what I can really connect you on with. This is going to be our final three, right? It'll be like, it'd be burned into us like the dark mark.
It's very similar to like in The Bachelor when you have a girl come on and be like, I'm so quirky and nerdy. I watched Game of Thrones. And you're like, really? The most popular TV show? Okay, sure.
The weirdest thing to me is that Tori is, and I just double checked, 25. Zach is 22. It's not like, you know, me trying to, I'm like 31 coming up to like the 19-year-old being like, hello, fellow kids. You're just 3 years older than him. So like, I don't know. I don't quite get it.
Yeah, well, listen, we have a lot of stuff to get into with these two episodes, or I guess it's one episode. It's one double length episode, we should say, because it really was branded as such. And we got, you know, two people eliminated in very different ways. Of course, we're going to get into them. We're going to get into some games as well. But first, let's get some overall thoughts on the premiere. Liana, you talked about the anticipation. How did it pay off for you, especially compared to something like Survivor 41, where if we're going back to like the math equation of it all, right? A lot of constants, very different variables. What did you think of this version sort of the new era premiere?
Well, I think you and I kind of touched on it when we did our takeover of the Instagram live.
Check that out.
Yeah, so cool. We're so
if you want to see Liana forget that she blistered tomatoes halfway through our Instagram live.
Oh, it was a mess. I still ate them, but it was a mess. So we talked about this where we had sort of, it was almost like I was kind of primed to be prepared for 42 after having seen 41. So it was kind of fun to see the return of the triangle versus, you know, the sweat versus savvy. We got to see that return. We got to see Shipwheel Island again, kind of like playing the hits, you know? So that was really fun. We got to meet everybody. I felt like the way that they edited together the personal stories with the camp life, I felt like was a little bit more seamless. They clearly had some practice at that. And so it just felt like 41, but everything was a little bit finer tuned, I would say.
Yeah, on that point with showing the backstories, I was so nervous for the ones we did see. I was like, are we getting rid of this person because we're learning more about them? Like, what's happening? So I'm glad that they did do a fair amount on this episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot of my overall takeaways from the first episode were just how unique this cast feels as a cast. And I mean, even within the first few minutes, I was watching with my mom, who was and she was like, wait, where's the like five really strong hot guys? And I was like, well, there's like a couple of them.
Just but, Jonathan.
Yeah. I was like, I guess Jonathan. I like that there, it feels like, I know Stephen Fishback said like, oh, this is the season of the, like the average person basically. And I was thinking like, it's the season of like they went full goofball. and normally I walk away from the first episode and think there's like four or five people who I think are way ahead of the pack in terms of win likelihood. And then there's a lot of people who you're like, maybe they could win if they bring goats, right? And this time I'm like, man, the in some ways the whole cast feels like goats, but in the best possible way, where they all have such a high variance in how the season can go, and I'm not used to feeling that way. So that's been really fun.
Yeah, exactly. I think in particular, like when it comes to the Jonathan stuff, right? Even though he does look like five of those guys squashed together. So maybe that is representing from like an electoral college perspective. I like the fact that, to your point, Mary, I think we can typically look at those people and be like, yeah, they're lasting through the pre-merge, and then post-merge, they might be in trouble. But like, we know we're seeing them for half the season. And to your point, that doesn't necessarily seem to be the case with this. I mean, like, there's a good chance we could pencil in Jonathan for post-merge because he is able to literally drag a boat full of four other people back to shore. But at the same time, everyone else, to your point, has so many like strengths and weaknesses that it does feel like anyone can kind of have their good day and anyone can have their bad day.
Yeah. I mean, am I off the mark here to say this feels like a cast full of a lot of Erica's from last season? You know, like I would say that, you know, if there were more Erica's last season, it would, I don't know, am I making sense? Like I feel like she would have fit right in with this cast. Whereas in last season, it seemed like, oh, well, she's on the outs because who can she relate to, or who, you know, is she similar to? That's kind of the vibes I'm getting.
Does she love Harry Potter? Is that? No.
Okay. Well, and like there's been seasons in the past, and I think there's like kind of the go-to seasons for the hardcore fans that are like the kind of hot mess seasons. Like I think of it as like Gabon, Nicaragua, and like San Juan del Sur, like jump out as like, these are the seasons where, and a lot of times it's because the average sort of like strategic game skill of the cast is at like a five, and there's not a ton, there's not like four or five tens. It's like most people are at like a five, maybe even the highest person's at a five. And so the gameplay is just very frenetic and interesting. And I'm not saying that's how this season is, because this season I feel like there's a lot more gamers, but it kind of has a similar feel of like, you just don't know what's going to happen. And season 41 had that to an extent. And I think season 41 was a season where they kind of married this, the 42 cast, and sort of more more typical cast of like, but then turned it on its head. So like you had a Xander, but Xander didn't act. The result wasn't what most people would have like thought would happen with him.
Mm-hmm. Well, I, you know, from both doing the RHAP draft, but also just in general, you know, I've been doing fan drafts for a long time for Survivor. And normally I can look at a cast and I can say, okay, these are my top four. These are my bottom four. Like, this is the person who I think might go out early, but is a good strategic. But like, I feel like I can place people this season. This felt like such a toss up.
Yep.
Such a toss up. And so like Zach easily could have seen him be first boot, also could have seen him be final three. Easy.
Right.
Like I don't even find either of those things hard to believe. And so that's what makes this very exciting, because I do feel like we're going in with so much unwritten. And I, you know, I just think we're going to have a betting field day with it. Is that
yeah. Or have a betting field day with it. As you can imagine, Liana frequents Vegas a lot.
I couldn't think of a Natasha Bedingfield pun for unwritten. So it's fun.
Yeah, exactly. Feel the rain on your skin and then some, because we're in Fiji. I completely agree. I totally agree with Mary as well, that one of the reasons why I love those train wreck seasons is like, give me a field full of fives than like of a few sevens. To me, like, I just want to see an entertaining competition happen rather than watch an all-time great game. I feel like that was 41 as well, as much as we were certainly talking at certain points of like, oh my god, what is Shan doing? I feel like even though she was one of the best players, like, I think the best still might be a seven at that point. So that just makes me really happy for what's to come, because these people are trying hard. I mean, look at someone like Drea, who I know I certainly came in with and was like, okay, we know her. She's like Miss No Nonsense, Miss No Drama. And to Age's point, like, she comes in and is like, I don't care about these people, like, making faces when Tori comes back. Like, she is absolutely having none of it. And I love that even from that capacity, she is like defying expectations and defying backstory. I interviewed her and never once did it come out that she was running hurdles half blind, which is wild to me.
Yeah. Okay. Do you know the tea on that? Because it was like mentioned very briefly in the episode. And then it was like, okay, no, that's it. I turned to play. I was like, wait, what did she say?
No, I mean, listen, she very much kept it under wraps, right? Like, as opposed to Jonathan, like, you probably meet him and the third thing he says is he has a Guinness World Record for doing pull-ups with 150 pounds on his back. Like, Drea kept this very under the radar. Now, I guess she's a very accomplished woman. Like, she's got so many other things going on, but did not know this thing whatsoever until we saw that file footage.
Drea's right. Like, was it everyone like else on Survivor is like, hey, what's my one thing? And Drea's like, no, I've got 10 things. It doesn't matter. You're going to find out all my things as we go.
Yeah. Was it like a temporary moment of blindness, like in that time in her life? Or is it, you know, was it something long? Like, we don't know. There's so much, so many questions. Maybe she knew that. Maybe she knew if she brought that up, that's all you would focus on.
Yeah, that's interview. Right. Yeah, put her. That's the box that we would put her in.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, I have so many questions.
Yeah. But I would say overall, and maybe it's also that we are sort of like conditioned to tune out some of the twistier elements, because I think 41, we're like, wait, what the hell is this amazing race detour? Wait, where are they going? What's going on with the ship wheel thing? That at this point, we're so used to it that we tuned it out, that we could focus more on the contestants, or at least that's what I did, because I'm really happy that this premiere in particular really let the contestants breathe. Like, I'm pretty sure if you look at the confessional charts, like, everyone got at least two confessionals. I think that's the first time that's happened in a while. I know they did it for Winners at War, but like on a new player season, that hasn't happened in a long time. So I think the show is banking and knowing how good this cast is, with no offense to the cast that came before it. And this makes me hopeful for what is to come, that like, even if, for example, someone like Ika keeps losing because they are very much a hot mess tribe, that maybe we won't have a Luvu situation, right? Where like one tribe just doesn't get anything happening. And hey, the winner happens to come from there and we didn't see anything of them in the pre-merge, then maybe people would be less angry at the overall story of the season.
This might also be some recency blindness on my part, but I felt like it's been a long time since we've had a first episode with a lot of talk of like camp life. Like, I'm like, oh, I thought you were done with that. And then we actually had a whole segment with Roxroy versus the Harry Potter crew about the camp life stuff. And I'm like, oh, we're still doing that? Oh, look at us flashing back.
Is Roxroy the Snape of Ika?
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, gosh. Speaking of Roxroy, yeah, he looks so much like a basketball coach I had growing up. Like, oh, no. Sweet Scott, like, 9 to 11 years old. And so I was like, why am I feeling a way towards Roxroy until he started, you know, instructing them at camp? I was like, he reminds me of that coach. I was like, I need to separate that because Roxroy doesn't deserve the angst I had feeling watching him. So I just had to get that out.
It's
so
like when you have a dream where someone does something annoying and you wake up and you're mad at them.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
It's a carryover from a previous coach. The Roxroy thing was also just very interesting because, you know, we did all the preseason stuff and then we met Roxroy out in the camp and I was like, who is this man? I've never seen this man in my whole life.
Or even before that, when he ends the first challenge being like, don't tell me, Probst.
You
idiot. What? Don't bet on me. Don't go to the Vegas betting tables and bet against Roxroy.
Yeah, it was like, wait, is this the person from all the interviews? And I'm like, I don't think so. They swapped him out on the way there. This is a twin twist situation. Oh, yeah. And this is actually Roxroy's twin.
Roy. They're like, all right, one of you's got to be Roxroy, one of you's got to be Roy Rox. We got two names, two kids, but I'm set on using both of them for both of you.
Yeah, that was so, and oh my gosh. Yeah, that was really interesting because that is also when we talk about the high variance, we talk about the not knowing what's going to happen. It's moments like that where it was someone who I thought I had this vision of from the preseason coverage. And now we actually see him interacting and getting upset that the youngins are singing the Survivor theme song. It's like, this is not something I would have imagined at all whatsoever. Like, this is not the tiny town of Footloose, Roxroy. Like, just chill out. It's okay. Yeah. We can have music and singing and dancing.
My favorite was his own package, right? He's like, taking care of these people is much harder than taking care of my kids. And then it cuts to his kids, which are 7 and 5. And I'm like, yes, that's incredibly obvious. Of course, these are people with their own agendas and college degrees and sense of like individuality. Yes, of course, they're easier to manage than first graders, Roxroy.
Like, I was totally not expecting that. Yeah, I expected to see some teenagers and like, oh, you know, people that are like hard-headed teenagers. But absolutely. Yeah, your kids love you at that age. There's respect there. They want to do whatever you want them to do.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was a very fun premiere. Let's get into some stuff here. Let's get into some preseason predictions, if you will. And I'm sure we're going to take many more detours along the way here. So as per usual, preseason, Leon and I wrote down how we thought these contestants would do. Now, look, I know I'm not the gimmicky one when it comes to predictions, but it's time to turn things on its head and do things a little bit differently. I don't know what voice.
What impression? Was that Cartman? Like, what was that?
We're going to do things a little differently, guys. Screw you. I'm going home on the boat. So, I mean, to Leona's point, I very much agree that this is an open field. That, like, it truly does feel like, with the exception of maybe a few people, I truly do feel like it can go in any number of directions. And so I said, to that point, why don't I tap into my Brant Steele DNA and see? It's been a while since I've been successful with a winner pick. Let's see if I have a season go that way. I can't do any worse. And so I generated an entire season via Brant Steele with these contestants. I took the outcome. I wrote it down, including everything that happened. And so basically now my preseason predictions are everything that happened in that Brant Steele. That way, if anyone's listening, I take no ownership of how you did. Okay? That is how a website determines it.
This is the most Mike Bloom thing to have happened with these predictions.
Exactly. Like one thing short of tattooing the outcome on my body. I have the Brit feel going here. Liana, did you do anything special this time considering the variance behind everything?
Well, I tried to crowdsource, a.k.a. my husband. So Puya and I sat down together and tried to write. In the same way, Mike, that you can blame a computer, I'll just blame Puya if something goes wrong.
Is it crowdsourcing if you ask one other person?
It was a very tiny crowd.
Yeah. I don't think one person
crowd.
Crowd.
Well, you know what they say.
Isn't four a crowd?
I think three's a crowd.
Three's a crowd.
Or company, depending on which show you're watching. But yeah, I don't think one person, like I'm not sitting down for a date and I'm like, oh man, I got the whole crowd gathered here.
Crowdsource this idea.
I'm going to try that on my next date. Be like, I'm joined with the crowd.
Yeah, oh, let me do some crowd control right now.
Yeah, just call it crowd work, right, when you're making fun of them. Yeah, so we tried. We'll see what happens. It's a mess, though.
All right, well, to that point, Liana, Let's start with our very unconventional first boot of the season. Mm-hmm. Jackson Fox. Obviously, I don't think either one of us could have predicted the way that he left the game. Mm-hmm. If we did, that is freaky. But what did you have to say about Jackson preseason? Or I guess you and the crowd, Puya.
Yeah, the crowd and I came up with the fact that Jackson would make the jury. So we said, the crowd and I, that Jackson's Southern charm is treated as a loving hug in a game that can feel like anything but.
Wait, the game is the opposite of a loving hug?
Yes, that's exactly. Yes.
Okay.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. He immediately finds himself in a pairing with Mariah, and the two of them link up with Omar and Marianne to form the majority. Jackson will struggle with challenge performance and is a target for the pair of Lindsay and Jonathan, but not voted out because in the majority. Jackson and Mariah find an advantage together, but Mariah is the one elected to hold on to it. And Jackson will be a part of the next hashtag blindside of Lindsay when she is the first out of the tribe before getting hashtag blindsided next when he hits the merge. Also, whether or not they use their shot in the dark or not, we said Jackson would not use his shot in the dark. Ally being Mariah, obviously, enemy being Jonathan.
Are we surprised, by the way, just to deviate briefly, that we imagined that the shot in the dark would be used, but did we expect it to be used in the very first vote of the season?
I don't think so.
It's so funny how just the contrast of 41 and 42, because, you know, obviously we saw the difference in the decisions with the sweat and
Savvy
and sweat. Yeah, we saw them choose different there. But then with the shot in the dark in 41, we went so long without anyone using. We're like, okay, is anyone going to ever use it? And here we go. First tribal, someone uses it. So I wonder, is this going to set the tone that more people, when they feel they're in danger, are going to use it? That way we will see a chance that someone will pull safe.
Yeah, it's interesting because the time you really use the shot in the dark, right, is if you feel like there's no other chance that something will happen, right? If it's mm-hmm. like open and shut. The reason why people didn't use it in 41 in the pre-merge is because, you know, Ricard and Shan and everyone snowed over to believe, oh yeah, it's not me tonight, so mm-hmm. I don't need to play it. Zach, and he confirmed this in many things with his exit press, including my interview with him, that like he knew it was either him or Tori. And so he said, on the one hand, like the vote is either going to go 5-1 against mm-hmm. me or 5-1 against Tori. My vote doesn't matter either way, so why not take the shot in the dark? And so I really do commend Zach for like having this completely new thing thrown in his direction that day and saying, yeah, you know what? I'm going to go with it. I think there are a lot of people that would understandably take some time to digest it. Zach ate with his eyes, which he needs to because he is incredibly skinny and needs to eat more.
It's like the kind of thing where when you calculate odds with rock draws and things like that. And
please, Roxroy draws, Mary.
Right, sorry, Roxroy draws, of course. Roxroy's draws sounds like
thing. Oh no.
and tie votes where there's like a threshold, because depending on where you are and depending on what the breakdown is, it does make more sense to as Zach said, like, give yourself that extra 16.66% chance. Whereas if it's like a situation from last year in the one event where Sydney did use the what is it called?
Shot in the dark.
I was thinking dice roll. What's it called? Yeah, shot in the dark.
That dice roll.
Yeah. If you know, casino things. It's the crap throw or whatever.
A crap throw.
If you isn't craps a thing?
Yeah, but you don't call it a crap throw.
Maybe they should.
I mean, listen, yeah. I don't know. They were playing a very different game if we're playing crap throw.
Whatever. If you do that. If you're in Sydney's position, you don't want to, because it's not actually adding that 16%. It's like taking away the vote that you have. But if you're in a 5v1 situation, mm-hmm. then yeah, I might as well. I feel like I would always like probably use whatever advantage I had, like every time I got it. I'd be that person like revolving door of advantages. You get it, you use it immediately. Like just get rid of it.
Yeah, I mean, Zach threw crap at the wall to see what stuck in that way, and the shot in the dark did not.
Mm-hmm.
And Liana, you sort of went like Mike Bloom 1.0 with how hyper-specific your predictions got. Like, you went down to the events and timeline of the story.
Yeah, it's a mixed bag between the crowd and I, depending on who wrote what and the style of the writing. So yeah, it's like, it's just going to be a fun little grab bag that we're going to jump into. I mean, needless to say, all of that is wrong because none of that happened. So, yeah.
All right. So I also had Jackson making the jury. So there we go. We are on the same incorrect page. I also said he would initially get targeted for being a challenge liability. I said he would get tight with Jonathan post-swap, only to have a fight with him post-merge. He survives a tie vote against him, only to get voted out the very next vote. So his closest ally is Jonathan. His enemy is Tori. And also special to this one, because I had the brand steal and I wanted to add a little skosh of creativity there. In honor of the idle phrases, I went to like a random phrase generator and I took a phrase that would be the motto of each one of these contestants. And the motto of Jackson's is "Get your act together."
Oddly fitting. You know, honestly, Mike, I forgot that you did the Brant Steele. That just sounds like a normal Mike prediction. Like,
yeah.
Oh my God. If you cut me, do I just bleed?
Am I the Brant Steele?
Is this fake blood? It's just Brant Steele all the way down.
Oh no.
All right. So now this falls upon our twosome guests here, Asia and Mary. You get to, and now we turn to the crowd.
The crowd.
Who do you think had the more accurate prediction?
Oh. See, it's tough because we didn't get to see.
Yeah. Literally none of this happened. Like,
right.
Yeah, I
not even the first step.
It comes down to, do we reward the Brant Steele or not?
Yeah, how does AI win? Who wins, AI or Puya? The test of time.
Also, we had a long conversation about some tangent I went on in between the two, which is making it hard to differentiate. You're both wrong.
Yes.
Right.
No Valid. Points for anyone.
Valid. Right. But then I do have to give points for the level of detail Liana and the crowd gave, because we expect that level of detail from the Brant Steele.
Yeah, Mike.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So I delivered as expected. Liana went above and beyond. And so
I crowdsourced all the way there.
Asia, I don't know how you're. I feel like, despite the really awesome catchphrase Mike came up with, I think if I played this game over and over, I would actually probably side with Liana's outcome more of what was a realistic possibility.
With the way that Marianne screamed when Jackson was announcing he was going home, I think that that alliance was on the horizon. So, and then, you know, naturally with Mariah. So I'll go with Liana in the crowd.
It is okay. Interesting. Like, I'll acknowledge it. I will say, though, in my interview with Jackson, he did say that he was targeting Marianne.
Why?
Yeah, so he said that when she left, they had talked about how she was. It's sort of like the Elaine thing in the first episode of Survivor 39, right? Where they're already like, she's too likable. She's a threat for the end. So he claimed, and again, this is Jackson, a very biased perspective, but he said if they had gone to tribal council in that first round that he was still around, that she would be gone.
Here's the thing. So are we supposed to believe then that Marianne's tears were of joy? Because that girl can act, if that's the case.
I don't know if you guys saw this, but she changed her header profile picture on Twitter to be the shot of Jeff's face when she just starts like bawling. It's so funny. I gotta see if I can find it.
I'm gonna see if I can share it here. I have it up right now.
Okay, yeah, beautiful.
Yeah, so you can see.
Yeah.
She's doing the really fun thing that you hilarious. Do in like, I said this a lot in like Facebook back in the day, right? Where you have the banner photo and you have like the picture. And so, yeah, this is, for those that are just listening, it is a picture of Jeff. I would say actually more so the profile picture is Marianne crying and Jeff's subsequent stone face reaction to probably his internal reaction was Jesus Christ. Like, did she fall in love with him? Billy and Candace style, like the first day that they were in the game together, but his stone face reaction and looking directly at the profile picture of Marianne, just letting it all out.
It's so funny. And then her bio is "Find me ugly crying on Survivor 42. That's so funny.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if she's doing this on day two and she's reacting like Lisa Welchel did when her brother came out on the loved ones visit, like, we are in for a long, fun season of Marianne reactions.
Here's great. What I need from both. I'll say Marianne definitely, and I'll extend this to Mariah. If they can make it past, they've already done it. They've made it past second boot, which means they are now the highest placing people whose name kind of sound like Mary on Survivor.
Yay!
There we go!
Because Marty and the only actual Mary on Survivor were both second boots. So here we go.
It's looking at
okay. All right. Well, let's get to Zach, shall we? We thought Zach would boots the house down. But no. He did a death drop right out of tribal council. He had to sashay away. So let's get into Zach. You better work, Tinberger.
Yes. So,
the Brant Steele, I'll go first here. The Brant Steele had him going to the finale. He was our fire-making robbed G.Odd of this season.
Oh my
so again,
God.
There's that variance. I said that his youth and innocence allows him into many alliances and makes quick social bonds. Seriously, like, there was a huge slew in the post-merge of him being like, he's tight with this person, this person, this person. Everyone just loves Zach. But most importantly, the number one ally he has the entire time, you would never guess in a million years who his tightest ally is.
Mike.
Number one.
Right on the nose, Liana.
Wow.
Really?
Firefighter Mike is Zach's closest ally. like, they form a bond. I did the Heroes, Healers, Hustlers thing, so we had to put a swap in there, and they get swapped onto a tribe together. They become super close, and they become the tightest pair in the game, to the point where, like, they make it, spoiler alert, I guess, for Mike's thing, they make it to the final four, and they have to face off against each other. And I'm just imagining this, like, Tony and Sarah's, like, father and son style thing, right? Like Isaac and Abraham, a tale as old as time. What happens there? So he does win one immunity challenge. He finds an idol, though he never ends up meaning to use it. He ends up just sort of like spending it when it expires at the final four. His biggest move comes when he chooses to flip on Tori to avoid a tie, despite having voted with her multiple times. As I mentioned before, his game comes crashing down at the final four when he has to emotionally face off against Mike in fire making and loses. His closest ally was Mike. His enemy was Jonathan, though he didn't really have any enemies because, again, everyone loved him. And the random phrase I drew for him was, "Don't worry, be happy."
Okay, so these are by random phrases, just like like actual phrases, just they're just randomly chosen. They're not like potatoes have skin and I have skin, therefore I'm a potato.
I mean, like, that's still a legitimate train of thought, Liana. It's not like, zebras fall upstairs and the purple was found on the chair.
I mean, that makes about the same amount of
sense. Wait, but I've heard this phrase. What was the phrase for Jackson again?
It was, let's see, Jackson's phrase was get your act together.
That is the phrase too.
Yeah, people say that.
Yeah, get your act together and don't worry, be happy.
Yeah. There are a couple in here I will remember that are very specific and so are not. Like, it's very much catch me with that Sunday milk of like, why is that thrown in there? But these other ones, I think, are more general sort of, you know.
I mean, problems. It's no pull on your Rocks Roy drawers, but okay.
Now I'm just thinking, I don't know why, but my immediate thought was the beginning of Walking in Memphis of just pull on my Rocks Roy drawers.
And you boarded a plane to go to Fiji? Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Touchdown in the land of a Jeffrey Probst.
I think there's a, you know, there's a wand off there, Mike.
No, there's not.
Hold on to that idea.
Never starting a song with pull on my Rocks Roy drawers.
Yeah, but Walking in Fiji is a good song.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, it's so funny that the simulation had Zach going to the finale, because literally what I mentioned about I could see Zach going to the finale or I could see him first boot. We have both predictions here because I had Zach as first boot.
Oh!
So I obviously pre-jury, pre-merge, I said that Zach's enthusiasm, while appealing to the viewers, rubbed his tribe the wrong way when he revealed his extensive knowledge of Survivor during the first 2 days on the island. And then when the Ika tribe or Ika tribe loses the first immunity challenge, the tribe decides between Zach and Romeo to keep the tribe strong. And sadly, Zach was the consensus boot. Zach hit another team's target during the first immunity challenge.
Oh my God, I know where there was going. Like, Zach punched someone in the face.
He did the fish back.
He did. He pulled a fish back. No punching anybody.
No, I mean, if Zach did punch somebody, it'd feel like, I don't know, you got hit by a piece of paper or something.
Like, what was that?
Was that a leaf?
Feather?
All right. And then I also said that Zach will make a speech and debate style argument at tribal council, which will fall on deaf ears because this ain't no Lincoln Douglas debate. This ain't no public forum. This is Survivor.
And, not the Lincoln Douglas debate.
Yeah. No. And then
is that
I said,
most famous debate in the world? Is the
what's
Lincoln
one
Douglas?
Of the debate styles in speech and debate? There's Wait, like really? Congress, Lincoln Douglas, policy, public forum. There's like a bunch of them. So extemporaneous. Lincoln Douglas is the funniest, obviously, because it's hilarious. And then I said that Zach did not use his shot in the dark, but he should have. Oh. So whoops on that one. I said his ally was Jeff, maybe ? And his enemy was the rest of his tribe.
Oh, wow. So you think he's like, yeah. Help me, Probst. Can you give me something?
Yeah. Don't make me say the line.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he did. Did you guys like when he filled in when Jeff was like, Zach, you do it?
Wasn't the whole thing where Zach didn't understand what he was asking for?
That was the Matt chat, right? When he's like, Zach, how does this make you feel? And Zach goes, I guess we're gonna have to find out. And Jeff goes, yeah. What does that mean?
What does that mean?
He goes, I don't know. But the at tribal council where Jeff's like, all right, Zach, take it away.
That hurt me because I was like, oh no, he's going to say it wrong. I would say it wrong. I would blank and I would not know. Jeff would be like, Mary, take it away. And I'd be like, fire! Boys are important! You need that fire, don't you? Like, I would forget it. And then I'd be like 10 minutes later, be like, wait, Jeff, I got it. Hold on. Fire represents your life in this game. When your fire is gone, so are you, or whatever it is. But yeah, I think that was the thing. I was most nervous about was just like that second hand, like he's gonna get it wrong, and then he got it right, and I gave a little clap, and then I was like, wait a second, this isn't a good sign.
Yeah, I didn't feel good about it at all because I was like, oh no, he's giving him this chance because he's probably not going to get another opportunity. Jeff knows that it is not looking good. Because it's like, why would he put it out on Front Street that this man is just this huge survivor, like love survivor? I mean, I know Marianne already showed it right when they arrived, but you know, this is tribal. This is fresh on people's mind. If I wasn't voting Zach before, I might now, you know?
Mm-hmm. I just like the segue of things, though, right? Because in Survivor 39, at one of those first tribal councils, Jamal finished the final part of it, right? He's like, when your fire is out, take it, Jamal. Now he's just completely, like, it's offloaded the entire thing onto someone else. Eventually, like, more and more parts of these jobs are going to be outsourced to castaways.
Just delegating his roles. He doesn't need to do all of it.
Jeff has been working very hard, okay? The man is tired. This is 42 seasons. He's just trying to, you know, the new generation, the Willy Wonka passing along the golden ticket, if you will, to see which survivor can finish the phrases that you get a golden ticket and you get a golden ticket. And then he'll bring them all back. And then, like, most of them will die in chocolate or whatever. And then they'll have the new survivor host.
Yeah, Zach barely made it into the factory. Like, they're like, oh, no, you stay outside, sir. You don't even get to step in.
Oh, my gosh. Speaking of, I said good day, sir. Is that Willy Wonka?
Yeah, that's Willy Wonka. Okay, that's when he yells at them for stealing fizzy lifting drink at the very end.
Yes. I feel like Jeff was distracting me the whole time because has he always worn those white sneakers? I feel like he used to wear a different kind of shoe because I'm like, what are these white? Like, what is he running? Like, what's happening?
So this was a part of the discourse a bit last season as well. And people made note of it, including, people such as myself who've been on set. Usually, Jeff Probst likes to rock the sandals when he is at Tribal
That's
Council.
Why I'm used to seeing his toes. Where are the toes, Jeff?
Mary has very particular interests. There's a Wikipedia that she has to fill out, and there's no season 42 inventory, and it's making her very upset, okay?
It just wasn't, natural.
I like how Mary's
toes are natural.
Yeah, like Mary's concerned about not remembering the line at Tribal Council, but she would be out there and be like, Jeff, what shoes are you wearing in front of the whole tribe? Be like, where are your toes? Where are your toes?
I was like, your hair is longer. I can get past that. But like, what's happened? There's something wrong with this picture. Like, one of these things is not what I remember. I didn't notice it last season, though, so I guess maybe they didn't pan to his feet as much, but I feel like his feet were on display.
Do you think he got fresh new? Maybe he has fresh kicks that he wants. Like, check out these Air Jordans. Mm-hmm. You can try, but you'll never get these. I don't know sneakers.
It's like how last season he kept talking about like that band that he liked. He's like, bands are back, concerts are a thing, live music. And then this time it's going to be about the
Oh yes, in the interviews. Yes, yeah. not on. Okay, yeah.
Oh no, yeah, not on the show. Like,
hey guys, you ever listen to this band?
Really bands cool. are back, baby. Have you heard of music?
Except it would be his own band. Where he's like, you ever hear? Hey, everybody, why don't we listen to the music that my band and I made? It's piped in throughout Tribal Council right now.
Yeah, and then the Gen Z crowd would be like, yeah, we know this one. Oi, oi.
Yeah, and Roxroy's like, God damn it, it's an earworm. Get it out of my head.
Oh, my God. Would Jeff Probst be in a Survivor cover band? Is that like too on the nose of the tiger, if
like,
you will?
Like the band Survivor?
Yeah.
I feel like he has the energy for a drummer.
Yeah, he has big drummer energy. Yeah. I can feel that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, then what cover band would he be? What cover band would he be a part of?
It has to be. I think it's one of those wedding bands that plays everything, like sort of like the wedding singer. You know, like I think he's part of it where he's like, all right, I can give you Disco Inferno or I can give you Uptown Funk and everything in between.
Yeah. So he's also officiating. Right. So he officiates and then he pops over to the drum set. I mean, he's definitely Jeff gives me big like DJ vibes also. Like, I feel like he'd MC a wedding. I could see that.
Mm-hmm. Well, he would need something to do after he officiates. Like, I feel like he's like a man on the go. You know, in his sandals or, you know, I guess tennis shoes now. So he really has to just like keep himself busy. So that makes sense that he would flip from, you know, officiant to
he's definitely showing up to officiate on like a jet ski, though, right?
Well, yeah, and I think,
would hope so.
But the thing is, so here's what happens. Here's where the cap flips in a manner of speaking. I think he officiates as like buttoned up Jeff Probst.
Oh.
Then Survivor guy.
Oh no,
is the DJ. You know, like he comes on with those tattoos right in the loincloth, and he's like, "Hello, Finkelberg wedding. How's everybody doing? I'm Survivor guy. I hope you like Cascada." And then he just starts spinning.
Then he plays the YMCA.
All right, everybody, it's time to do the electric slide. Get out on here.
It's electric.
Now, how this work? Are you ready to get to today's dance? All right, for this one, you're going to do two steps forward, one step back.
One hop this time.
Yeah, like that's my purpose is calling.
Jeff, you know what? Jeff Probst should make like the new Cupid Shuffle, like where it's him telling you what to do. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like he'd be good at that kind of thing.
Like,
what, like barking instructions? Yeah. He likes Rox Royce jam. But, yeah,
but it would be like he also provides messages like, to the right, you can do this. This is why you're here.
And now dig deep. Dig deep.
Yeah.
Come
okay.
on, curl dig deep.
Okay, yeah, so we have to go through what are all of Jeff's sort of like catchphrase actions, uh-huh. and then that's what becomes the new Cupid Shuffle. Yeah,
right. So, like come on in.
Come on in.
Dig deep. Yeah.
Dig deep. All right. Wanna know what you're playing for?
Yeah. There we go. And like that's the dance for that. We're like, yeah, we wanna know what we're playing for.
Spooky Eddie.
All right, yeah, so I think this is clearly something that needs to happen in the off season. I think that musically minded people should concentrate less on pull on my Rox Royce drawers and now on creating a Cupid Shuffle that uses primarily Jeffrey Probst catchphrases. Yeah.
Somebody get on that. We're gonna crowdsource this
thing.
Sorry, so if one person wants to get on it,
straight to the top.
Yeah. Speaking of which, Liana won that last one, right?
Oh, absolutely.
150,000%.
I don't know, it's up for debate.
That AI. It's close.
Yeah.
Something I want to ask about before we start getting into our game this week is, I'd be remiss to not ask you, Asia Mary, as the co-host of the Love is Blind, like, given that system, I don't want to be Julie Chen Moonves and be like, how does this compare to Survivor? But like, is there a way in which making a first impression there and making a first impression on Survivor? Because I guess all I could think of, right, was Zach comparing making an alliance to getting your first kiss. Is there any common ground, or is he truly speaking from a different perspective?
Well, I definitely think there's something with the tribe that split off into pairs, right? The Vati tribe, where especially like with Lydia and Hai, like I think they're connecting in the Love is Blind. I mean, it's sort of the opposite because Lydia said like one look at you and I knew we were the same person. But I feel like you put them in a pod for an hour and they're probably meshing. So I think it would be an interesting season to like make your alliance pairs based off of, like, imagine like Exile Island, but you don't know who the other person is. You don't get to see them.
Yeah. Ooh. What if it was like a situation where, and you might have just thought of this too, Liana, if it was a situation where it was the three tribes, but you're communicating with one person on another tribe, but you don't know who that person is. So then, you know, when you show up to challenges, you're like, who am I talking to? You're trying to get a feel for it, but you know that y'all are connecting, y'all are on the same page. So then if y'all both make it to the merge, then like you're paired up somehow or something like that.
Survivor pen pals. What if, right? What if the amulet people, the Advantage amulet people could write notes to each other? That would be so cute.
Oh, and like you could somehow transmit it through the amulet.
Okay. Sure. I mean, sure, you lost me there. But okay.
But I think it'd be fun if you could somehow, yeah, because like if you could, well, it obviously wouldn't be the case, but I'm thinking like the Princess Leia message from Star Wars, right? Where like a little hologram message comes out of the amulet where it's like, hey, it's me. Hi. Just wanted to see how you were doing, Lindsay. That would be fun just to like have it actually transmitted through the Advantage amulet itself, even though it's a key, not an amulet. It's a freaking key.
See, I feel like I was thinking of it a lot more like, you know, XOXO, this is Drea, like, growing great on my tribe. Oh my gosh, are the people over there annoying you as much as they are for me? Mm-hmm. How about that triangle business? I feel like that would be about about the extent of it. Because yeah. You never know. Or you have to write in code, too, because, like, what if it's intercepted? Unless it's the Princess Leia thing. But I don't know if Survivor is introducing holograms this early. That seems a little bit new.
Maybe in the 60s.
Yeah, exactly. That's when Jeff is just a hologram, right? Like, now he's not doing anything. Now it's a hologram that's hosting.
Yeah, we've gone full hologram. Yeah, it doesn't really fit the vibe. I was also thinking they just, like, embed a sidekick. I don't know why it's still a sidekick. It's not, like, a different phone. Like, the phone, the sidekick, not, you know. Like,
oh, gotcha.
Yeah. It would be, like, embedded in the amulet somehow, and they'd just be, like, yeah, texting, which fits Mary's messages of XOXO, like, sup, you up, kind of thing. But the other idea I had to go to the Love is Blind of it all is, what if they had to do a summit, but they couldn't see each other? And so then they had to do the summit somehow.
Like, is there voice manipulation?
Oh yeah. Well, I don't know.
They all have to speak in, like, Christian Bell Batman voice. So you don't know who it is.
Couldn't say their names or something.
Yeah, but you could still tell by the timbre, right? You're just like, oh my god, I'm so excited to be here. This is so great. I just thought I'm gonna have a great time. Like, yeah, that's Marianne. Like, oh my god, when Jackson left, I cried so much. I cried myself to sleep that night. That's like, you could absolutely tell who that is. Or like, oh, my shoulder. God, oh my god.
Not my shoulder. Oh yeah, we've briefly started talking about this pre-show, but like,
this is like when you're playing Goose Goose Duck and you're like, I really like poutine. And they're like, yeah. Oh, you're the Canadian. Oh, okay.
Got it. You love Canada. Okay, gotcha. The Daniel injury of it all. So, you know, obviously we have him, his shoulder gets dislocated. But in that second, well, I guess the first immunity challenge, second challenge, immunity challenge, Asia, like, I know yes. You noticed this. He injured it again because it was just hanging there limp. And, like, no one was doing anything about it. And they didn't address it at the end of the episode. And we didn't get to see medical take a look at him. I'm genuinely concerned for Daniel's arm.
Same, because now that it's been popped back into place, he thinks he is invincible. So he's like, oh, if it happens again, they're just going to do that again. I'll be fine. But he's at risk of losing that arm.
It might pop up like Woody.
It's not like a Barbie doll, right? Like, it's not like you can just continually pop it in. Like, I assume the joints, I don't know. I'm not a medical. It just get looser where it's like, now flimsy?
Yeah. The tendon, like, things will get loose. But as long as it doesn't tear anything, like, theoretically, he's fine. But if it keeps popping out, then he might have surgery to, like, have to, because things are so loose, it's just, you know, it's all loosey-goosey up there.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure that Daniel was in a similar position I was watching it, which was like, wait, Stephanie LaGrossa had this happen, and she just popped it back in like a beast and was good to go. So I'm going to look not only like a badass, but it's going to be totally fine when it gets popped in. I feel like that might have been flushing through his head. Mm-hmm. So that's how I would have been. But, you know, I've said for years that, like, my favorite part of running is getting to complain how sore you are afterward, and that you just have to lie around and be like, I can't do anything for the rest of the day because my legs are all tired. That doesn't work on Survivor. Like, you kind of, like, work out and rally, and I don't have that ability. So, like, but I did notice that when he was rowing in the second challenge and just, like, dropped an arm for a second and wasn't doing anything. Yep.
And all the way to the end of the challenge, like, to the puzzle, was, like, limp on the side of his body. I'm concerned.
Yeah, well, because it's also not like in One World, right, where we had Courtney Moon was medevac during the challenge because of improper net technique, if you will. And they, like, stopped the challenge. Like, okay, let's call medical. And they're like, Daniel, you're good. Get in that boat, dude. And so I do just feel terrible that this poor man's arm is just, like, dragging behind him the entire time. It's like, come on. I think we could do this. So I do fear for him. It does seem like it's okay. It's wild, but I also think that Hai and Lindsay and Drea were very lucky this happened, because otherwise I think the big to do is gonna be, hey, why were you gone for 15 minutes and you're covered in blood?
I mean, So I don't know what the rules were. I don't know if they said you have to put some blood on, because it looked like Lindsay was like, I'm not doing that. Why would we be bloody? And just ran back. And I feel like if it was me, I would come back. I would put so much blood and dirt on, and I would come back and be like, yeah, we weirdly had to like crawl through a pit of blood. Like, it was super weird. I feel like that's what I would say. Not because you're not. I'm sorry. Where's the wound? Where's the wound? You know, we know that Lydia was like, oh my gosh, what happened? So unless he's telling her something else, you don't get blood gushing. Like, okay, put it on your face and be like, I had a nosebleed. Because right. No one's checking that. Mm-hmm. No one's checking that. Mm-hmm. This is so non-sanitary. Is this like pig's blood? Is it like a carry situation? What is happening?
It's fake blood, so it's right? Not anyone's blood. So I hope not, right? Like, oh well, we had to make some budget cuts.
They've had to do blood related things on Survivor.
They drank cow's blood before, but there they actually like poked the cow and got it. Unless Jeff's like, remember the dream team? There's no more dreams going on.
What if they said there was a cow back there? We had to poke it and drink it.
We had to butcher. Well, that's the other thing is that we didn't get to see. So I'm not saying it didn't happen, but we didn't get to see whether or not they came up with a consensus story on what happened.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Because I what do you say? We all through right. mud. And then where does the blood come in? I don't know.
I feel like High is the only one who went just rogue by just pouring it on his chest. What was that? Like, Drea and Lindsay had the right idea to just mud, roll around. That looks like an appropriate thing to happen on this long journey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that is this cast. They see a bucket of blood in front of them and they ask no questions. They say, oh yeah, we're doing this? Fantastic. Like, I really admire the commitment. I reminded me of my own fake blood story, which had like very not similar outcomes, but like, okay, I was doing a project in high school where I had to be a character from a book, and I think his name is Jack from Lord of the Flies, like he's the main antagonist, and I thought, okay, so what I'll do, go figure, 18-year-old Mike Bloom says, okay, for this project, I'm going to be shirtless, and I'm going to cover myself in fake blood. And I'm going to pretend to be this guy and just like give a speech as this character. And I remember going into our public high school bathroom and just covering myself in blood and then walking out. And like my friend was there with me. And he's like, yeah, like we were like talking about how much blood I needed on me. And then a security guard walks in and then just about faces and turns around. They Rocksroyd the hell out of there. Like, I'm not dealing with this stupid white boy malarkey. Like, I don't care. And so I very much understand how maybe some people just get so overwhelmed that they don't even want to ask questions because they don't want to hear it, right? They're like, mm-hmm. I've got other stuff to do at this point. It's Survivor. There are so many things going on. I could ask about this, but I need mental energy dedicated to other pursuits.
Mike, mm-hmm. were you a theater kid in high school?
I mean, I have a theater degree, so okay, yes, very right, much yes. So.
So we had to do, like, theater hazing, where you had to, like, it was a whole week, and, like, one day you could only wear trash bags, one day you had to, like, have a fake wound put on you, and then when everyone would ask, you'd have to, like, come up with a realistic story of why you have this wound. Okay. And that gives similar vibes, because all day you're like, oh my gosh, the teacher's going to ask why I have this open wound and refuse to cover it up and stuff, and that was a big deal. But that was nail polish, I'm pretty sure. I don't think it was like, if we weren't like dripping blood, it was like, oh, I cut myself with a pencil last class.
My God, these theater kids at your school are hardcore. You have to wear trash bags for a week?
For one day of the week. Each week was, or each day was a different thing. The trash bag outfit, it was, I classed it up. It's fine. You just have to make it cute. You can make it cute. You can make anything cute. Come on. Mm-hmm. Come on.
So, Mike, did you haze anybody or no? That wasn't part of your...
I mean, at least not to my recollection.
At least not with
garbage
bags.
I did it accidentally. But yeah, I don't think I've said, hey, wear it. Hey, you better wear a trash bag tomorrow, or I swear to God.
You are, I'll pour some blood on you.
You're not going to play Judd Fry with that attitude, sir, okay? Ain't no Annie, more like ain't no Annie. So yeah, the mud and blood stuff, I really hope this the silliness of that continues, because like that is our lifeblood here on the B&B.
Yes.
Yeah. Ugh, it's so silly. It's so stupid. It's
that's so dumb. Why are they bleeding? I love it. I want more of it. I want more.
More? You want more blood at every
more
challenge?
Blood. More blood. At, yes. Blood at every the Ship Wheel Island. Blood. Immunity Island. Ghost Island. Blood. Whatever. Blood. I don't care. I want it as an option. You don't even have to tell them to do it. Just there as an option. You know what I'm saying?
Just in a bowl.
Give them the choice. Yeah, exactly. Just be like, oh, and would you like to put some fake blood on yourself? Perhaps, sir.
I feel like this season and last season, because this is something that came up in the fake blood conversation. The consciousness of the players with the fact that this is a 26-day season, I think, has it had slightly different effects. Like, I feel like last season it was like, oh, it's so much harder because it's so short. Like, that was kind of the message we kept getting. Or it's like, oh, it's fast. And this one was like, throw caution to the wind. It's short. So, like, rack them up. Let's get all the stuff we can. Sure, fake blood. Who's going to care? It's 26 days. Let's go. So, I feel like it's a little bit different of a vibe, but like, I'm down with it.
Yeah, it very much is the YOLO vibe, I think, of Survivor 42, right? I'm like, well, it's only 26 days, so we better cover ourselves in fake blood. But I love this idea, Liana, because now my headcanon is that Survivor bought a surplus of fake blood, and they're like, well, we got to move this fake blood somehow. Let's offer it at every challenge and see if anyone takes the bait.
Yeah, that's the twist.
Now, I thought they were going to be really mean. I thought that the third leg of the challenge was going to be sending some more people out who were going to like read a sign that says, hey, the previous group got a thing. Ooh. Like, you know, whatever, do this and you'll get one too. If you call them out, like that's a little more Big Brother, but I felt like they were going to like immediately screw over the people who just got the advantage.
That would be, I mean, talk about chaos. That would be like total epic chaos.
No, that's very, what was it? Big Brother Canada 3, right? Where like one of them had the task to sneak into the vault and then everyone else had the task to keep them out of the vault. And so, yeah, I mean, that would be very fun. I don't know if that would be having advantages because rather than that would be like a fun reward thing, right? Of like, oh, you get I don't know, a candy bar if you end up doing this. And like, oh, well, you get a candy bar if you're able to call out the other player for doing it.
Is this sleepaway camp? Like,
it's like side quests. Yeah, it's side like option one, like choose your own adventure. Either take this annoying side quest or complete the challenge. One or the other.
I mean, the advantage amulets are the side quests, right? Like that was the discussion of like, now you have this side task to accomplish of being the hitman on the people that you thought were going to be your allies.
I don't need the stress. I was so surprised that they all agreed to it instantly. I'm like, don't we want to just play the game?
Well, isn't that so? Is that
go ahead, Asia.
Well, I was just going to say, isn't that the easy move is to like everyone had the same idea of like, okay, naturally, I would want to get these other two out so that I can have an idol. Like, do you think that's all they are going to do?
I don't know. I think like because for if I was a player and I know that I'm probably not going to see these people for a while, then, you know, I don't have to really think about it. Then once you kind of like get together in a group, then I would be like, okay, now what are we going to do? What am I going to consider? I honestly, if I was doing it also, and there were still three of us around, I'd just be like, take it. Can you just like take my advantage amulet? I don't want this hit on my head. Like, you know, because I know what the deal is for them to take me out. Just take it. Just have it. Like, have your extra vote. I don't care.
Though I do believe the problem is, I think they are TM Troyzan non-transferable.
No. Yeah.
But I think it also, to answer your question, Angel, like, I don't know, right now I'm a little TBD because go figure, there's something in the 40s of Survivor that we still don't have the full picture on. When it comes to like, they'll only work if they're all together. You know, Leon and I were talking about this a bit during our takeover as to like, is it locks on a box that they have to all unlock together? Or is it just, okay, you all have to be a tribal council together for anybody to do anything with the amulet?
Is it three separate individual votes? Or is it you get one vote total?
I think you get one vote total.
Screw that.
Exactly.
Vote them out. get rid of them.
I mean, that's what they're going for, right? Considering they're like, well, you could have an extra vote. You could have a vote steal,
you
or
can have one cookie to split between the three of you.
Exactly.
Or if you vote them out, you get a whole pie.
Yeah, that's literally what it is. Like, really incentivizing, much like with the triangles, right? They're like, well, you can have one person be all by themselves and fill up this one barrel, or you can all stand around together and have two tries to guess this. Like, I think they're very much nudging towards a certain decision. So I would imagine that it has to happen, but I just don't know how. Even if they wanted to put everything together, what that process entails.
Yeah, because it's like, okay, does that just mean they have to make it to the merge? Or does it mean that they have a swap and two of them end up on one tribe and one of them is on another tribe? And then they do like a two tribe tribal council where everyone votes one person out. Can they use it then? We need to see the fine print.
I like when Survivor players have choice. So I like that technically this is a choice, but much like the hourglass twist, this is not a choice. Maybe once you get down to two, maybe then like two versus one, but even then, like, don't you want the idol versus what? Is it a vote steal? A singular vote steal?
Right.
I mean, also not particularly powerful. So yeah, it definitely feels like, okay, we're trying to push contestants in a particular direction. So I'm just, you know, add it to the mess of chaos, add it to the variance. I think that this twist is, you know, potentially going to have big ramifications, assuming that multiple of them make it to the merge.
Even with the triangles lack of choice thing, it was like, it's like on Amazing Race where they're like, do you want to smash some plates or do something really tiresome and annoying? Yeah. You know, it's like, we're leading you in one direction here.
Exactly. Well, that was the whole thing. They were like, we built the puzzles. Like, we're going to, the triangle puzzle. Yeah. Like, we want someone to use it.
Come on. We cast all you nerds for a reason. Do the stupid triangles.
Yeah, because they changed it from two people doing it to one.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Nope. So they're like, no, we purposely left all of the non-athletic people on this season. So we knew, like, imagine after 41 happened, they're like, give me the dweebiest bunch of losers on this group. I need to have them do that triangle puzzle.
This was my season. This is the season I should have been cast on.
All right, well, let's get into our game for this week. And we did this last season, and it's much like the premiere of Survivor 41. We're doing it again. It is Survivor Scategories. So for those that might not remember how this works, I'm going to provide to you a list of categories, and I'm going to give you a letter of the alphabet. You will each need to privately write down one thing for each category that begins with that letter of the alphabet. When the round is over, we will then read our answers. You will get a point if you got something that I think we all sort of like communally give our thumbs up to. But if you have the same answer as someone for a question or for a submission, that will not be counted. So you're looking to be both correct and sort of in the rare, outside of the one person crowd, if you will. So that being said, I am going to give you, let's see, I'll ask you, I'll do like the Jeff Probst thing, like, how much time do you want for this first round?
Oh man,
how many questions are there?
There are seven.
Okay. No. Seven questions, and they're all the same letter.
All should begin with the same letter. Yes.
They should all begin with the same letter. Okay, I struggle with this game, so do our best.
As we recall last time when Liana went a tarp
for A. I think it counts, Mike. All right, let's go. What did we do last time? I think we said 60 seconds, maybe?
Yeah, I think we can start with a minute, and then we can go up. Sure. We'll do multiple versions of this, so I think we can go up from there. So you'll have a minute. I'm spinning a wheel right now of Scategories letters specifically. Okay, in honor of Mike, I suppose. So I will send you the list right now. I'll post it in the chat that we're talking in at this moment. Oh, that doesn't work. Hold on. I will talk amongst yourselves while I post these one at a time.
Okay, so not cheating, but it was M. Is that the one I said? Was anybody paying attention?
Wasn't paying attention.
Okay, good. Good start.
I was stuck on a tarp. From
Look, sometimes your brain just betrays you.
You were trying to cheat the system. Okay, so there you go. seven items, beginning with the letter M, as in Mike, your time, or Mariah, or Mary, your time starts now.
Okay,
so I am going to read these categories out to fill some airtime while everybody else is writing down their answers. So the first one is going to be name of a Survivor contestant. Now, I went with first name. I will admit they can also go by if someone like Cochran, for example, like a nickname. I think that counts as well, but I went mostly with first name so we don't have to worry about last names. Something found at camp, something you might find at a typical Survivor camp, even in the 40s where things are very sparse. A reason why the medics would have to check on you. Something you would hear Jeff Probst say to you if you were playing Survivor. An occupation previously seen from a Survivor contestant. So not a made up one, some one that an actual contestant had. You have 15 seconds left, by the way.
Oh, no. Wait, what? What?
All right. I'll give you an extra 30 seconds here. Because I am charitable. All right. So we had what? The occupation. We had, let's see, something that you can find or grab in the first challenge. Again, much like the fake blood, much like the paddles, much like the advantage amulet. And finally, in honor of poor Zach, you better Wurttemberger the house down. A reason why you would get voted out first. And you have 10 seconds now. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and pencils down.
This is so bad. This is, like, sometimes my brain would fixate on an idea even though I knew it was wrong and it just wouldn't let it go. And then I panicked and I wrote it down. So this is going to be really bad.
And that makes for great stuff overall.
Oh,
okay,
no.
So we'll go one category at a time and we'll go around here. So again, your letter was M. So the first one, the name of a Survivor contestant. Liana, let's start with you.
Okay, this one is an actual answer. I wrote Michelle Fitzgerald.
Okay, that indeed is the name of a Survivor contestant. Asia, what about you?
I wrote down Marianne.
Okay, timely. That is one as well. Mary.
I put your namesake, Mike White.
Yes, you're a fan, and I am as well. So that is one apiece. So far, so good, everybody.
Okay, it's about to go way down.
Oh, no. Okay, something found at camp. Asia, we'll start with you.
So I said, Because of reward challenges, I said milk.
Yeah.
You started with milk. Okay. I guess you could technically find milk at camp on Survivor. All right. If we're giving the thumbs up, I'll give the thumbs up to that.
Okay.
All right. Mary, what about you?
I put mosquitoes.
Ooh,
I don't know if
that's really
actually mentioned. But.
No, I think that works. You could find them at a camp. They're not like a materialistic reward, but I think that counts. Liana?
Okay, thank God. I went with the basic B answer. I put machete, and I was hoping.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
I was thinking machete is number one answer on the board, but yeah. I'm happy that we went out of the box with milk to start. Like, oh, sit down. Can I pour you a cup of skim while we talk to the Alliance? All right. Oh, next gosh. Up, a reason why the medics would have to check on you. Mary, let's start with you on this one.
Monkey bite.
Monkey bite.
You know, happens all the time.
You won't believe it.
Sorry, wait. Is this something that the medics would have had to have checked on someone before? Or there's like
no, just a reason why. I think this is a little more creative.
That's possible.
Monkey. There are monkeys. They're having sex in the jungle. Maybe they come down, give you a little love bite. We don't know.
All right, I will approve of the monkey love biting. Thank you, out of context, for your own inventory for the week. All right, I'll approve of that one. That's creative. Liana?
Okay, I said, and I think this should count, because Mary said mosquitoes. I said malaria.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. They would absolutely check on you for malaria. I would hope
okay.
so.
Okay, good.
Asia?
So I found that my vocabulary with the letter M is very limited. I don't know why. I think it was the pressure. But hear me out on this one. A medic could come see you because you've had too many mimosas.
Has that happened? Have we had a medic come because someone's a little bit, you know,
they've been overserved?
Mary, I don't think you can say that. You're like monkey bite, though.
Monkey bite would be a legitimate reason. Like, I would go to the doctor if a monkey bit me. I would not go to the doctor if I had too many mimosas.
Well, if you had way too many mimosas,
you could get dehydrated.
There you go.
Especially
but what would the answer is? Is it many mimosas?
It's mimosas.
The reason is just mimosa.
Plural.
I don't know. I don't know if a reason why the medics would see you is mimosas, because that implies to me that you're offering one to them.
Right. True.
I can be outvoted here. I will happily be if the other two approve of this one.
I'm just like selfishly thinking of the rest of my answers. I need all the goodwill I can get. I'm going to say yes, but I don't think so.
That's fair. That's fair.
All right.
Oh, no.
Something you would hear Jeff Probst say to you, Liana.
I said, monster, comma, the is here.
So, all right, let's address this a bit. All right, so the phrase is the monster is here.
Syntax.
Yes. You were doing as if someone went through a library card catalog looking for the phrase. Yes.
Because I didn't think the monster would count.
No, it would not. Okay. So monster, comma, the. I'm gonna hold my reservations until I hear the other two and see what the bar is at this point. Asia.
Okay. Maybe Jeff has said this in the past. Maybe they haven't included it on the show because it just wasn't worthy of showing. But, you know, you're in a competition. Someone falls really hard and just like, my word.
Jeff turned into my southern grandmother.
Oh,
my lord.
I'm getting the vapors.
I was half wanting
my,
like,
my.
Mimosa, would you like one?
Just this lush of a contestant being like, oh, Jeff, I'm gonna offer you a mimosa right now.
Theme.
My word. Oh my god.
My
all
word.
Right, Mary, let's make this 3 for 3.
I took this very literally. Something no. you would hear Jeff Probst say to you. Mary, what did no. you think about that?
That's not fair.
Mary, getting frustrated with me. Mary, it's your turn to vote. I got more where that came from.
I mean, here's the thing. I'm gonna give you all credit here. It's like, this is fantastic. This is the name of the game, people. So like, I'm gonna do it. Why not? I think Jeff Probst would say all these things, that he would address Mary, that he would transform into an antebellum southern woman, and that he would address the monster as if he was doing research on it for his seventh grade project. All right, next up,
gosh.
An occupation previously seen from a Survivor contestant, beginning with M. Asia.
Mom.
Okay.
Stay-at-home mom, I feel like, has been a Chiron before, right?
I mean, Mariah is billed as one this season. Yeah. So, like, I think that counts. Mary, what about you?
Mortician, throwing it back to season
Dara. Dara Johnson, question on Survivor All-Stars. Who is the mortician?
Who's the mortician?
And Liana.
I said... Mason, comma, free.
All right. Well, okay. There's some things about this.
That's a little tarp, if you ask me. Sorry, tarp, comma,
Well, you made the assumption that not only would someone be a Freemason, but would have it in their lower third that they were Freemason.
Yeah, Mason, comma, free one idol. That's what I was going to say. Just move on, Mike, please.
No, so we had Bob Dog Mason, but not A. Mason had been on the show, I believe. So, all right, so last one. Oh, no, actually, two more here. Something you need to find or grab in a challenge. Mary.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Take this however you will. I'll put melons.
Oh.
Oh, okay. There was a challenge. in Survivor token cheese there was in Survivor Gabon, where they would throw fruit around.
Exactly what I meant. Let's go with that.
Grab those melons.
Grab those melons.
All right, Liana?
I said mallet.
Oh,
okay. That's a good one. Yeah, we've had some hammer-based challenges in Asia.
Hear me out. I'm assigned to do the puzzle, so I need to grab my intelligence.
Grab my intelligence.
That's very creative. I will say.
Gotta grab my intelligence. It's gonna be a tough one.
I don't think that's what you meant by the question, but
you have to spin it when you have 2 seconds left.
I also like that it's my intelligence.
Yeah, my intelligence. Not yours, this is my intelligence. I'm going to give the X to that one. Like I'm Jerry from Big Brother 10. All right, finally, a reason why you would be voted out first, Liana.
Malaria?
Okay, well, going back to the medical reason. Good reason.
I mean, if you're weak, you've got malaria, you're an asset or a liability in the challenges. I think it makes sense.
All right, Asia, what about you?
Meal, because let's say you're eating all the rice. Rice is your meal on the island.
Bit of a thinker, but I'll give you credit on that one. And Mary?
I'm not going to lie. I didn't scroll down far enough and I didn't see that question.
All right.
I didn't get to it.
There we go. Well, that's fine, though, because that makes this a stiff competition, if you will. Liana and Mary, after the first round, are tied at 6. Asia has 5. Ooh. We'll do one more round just to see if we can even things up. You now see all 7 in front of you. Everyone grab your intelligence. Here we go. The letter for this particular batch is going to be T. T as in tiger. I am going to give you 1 minute and 30 seconds starting now. So the letter is T. While this is happening, I'll talk a little bit about what's going on with my Survivor Exit Press, just to get in ahead of the plugs at the very end. Had a very nice conversation with these two guys. Well, Mary also just put an answer in the chat, so hopefully everyone did not see that. I feel like me calling it out made it worse. So I should also say we have 1 minute left now after that little snafu. So I do have interviews up with Jackson and Zach. We did not get very much into the Jackson situation, but I do very much encourage people that if they do want to check it out. It was understandably a very confusing situation that things were left on 45 seconds left, and a lot of emotions got brought up, especially turning from Jackson's very beautiful story that he echoed on the fire the previous night. Jackson goes into length about everything that happened pre-game, during the game, after the game, etc. I'm sure you have questions about it. I know I gained a lot of clarity personally listening to Jackson talk all about this. And Zach was fantastic as well. 20 seconds left. Zach was really open about his experience. I mean, he still is really walking out with his head held high, despite being having lived so much Survivor and having it be such a big part of his DNA. He enjoyed that experience, even if it was only a few days long. Here we go. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. There we go. All right. Let's see if Mary did a purposeful scare tactic to try to encourage or discourage people from that first answer. Let's start with you, actually, Mary. A Survivor contestant, first name or whatever name, with the letter T.
So I accidentally sent my answer of Todd to the chat. So I changed it to Tijuana.
Tijuana.
Oh,
yeah. Okay, listen, you're appealing to the right judge here with the Pearl Islands love. Liana, what did you say?
Okay, I put Tony.
Okay.
Oh. One good one, Asia.
I said Tasha Fox.
Okay.
Okay. There
All
we
right.
go.
Good.
I was going to say, like, I mean, they're between like Tony and Tyson, you know, you never know. So, yeah. I like how sort of like off the map or all around the map you were. Okay. Something found at camp, Liana.
Okay, tree mail.
Ah!
Very smart. Yes, tree mail is indeed found at Kip. Also,
an actual answer.
I don't know if you saw this. There was an Entertainment Weekly deleted scene where Vati went to the tree mail for the first challenge and they're like, bring your flint. And obviously it meant like, oh, so you can give it back if you lose the challenge. And they're like, oh, is there going to be a fire Mickey challenge instead of a puzzle? Like these poor fools. All right, Asia, something at camp that begins with the letter T.
Tarantulas.
Oh, okay.
Mosquitoes, we have to accept tarantulas. Yeah?
I suppose so.
Are there tarantulas in Fiji? I guess that's true.
Yeah, so I'll go with that. I don't think we've ever seen tarantulas on Survivor, now that I think about it. Mary, what about you?
I said tarp, comma,
There we go.
Yay!
If I could give you a bonus point for callback, I would. All right. A reason why the medics would have to check on you, beginning with the letter T, Asia.
Tiredness.
Okay, interesting. Fatigue. I think that works.
Yeah.
Mary.
I went back to Heidi from the Amazon. Tarantula bite.
Oh, so now we know there were tarantulas.
I'm glad Mary was in favor of that answer.
Yeah. I needed to come back.
And Liana.
I said your temperature.
Okay. Like going up. Fantastic.
Fever, yeah.
All right. Next up. Something you would hear Jeff Probst say to you, Mary. Now, you couldn't go with Mary. What are you doing?
That's ridiculous.
Oh, I didn't realize that was your phrase.
ridiculous.
I'm in Jeff Probst's face. That's ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
I mean, listen, it's better than sorry for you.
I laughed so loud when he said that this time, and my brother and my mom were like, "You laughing at it?" I'm like, "It'd take too long to explain. Just keep going."
All right, Liana.
Okay, I put time to vote.
Oh,
that's a great one. And Asia.
Tonight.
Just remembering Tribe of the Spoken thing.
Oh yeah,
I'm not a Tribe of Spoken. I'm just remembering that's a thing. Oh man.
Oh, this is why we would do so poorly if Jeff was like, "And what's the line?" Like, tarantula bite.
Oh, that's ridiculous. My word.
Tonight.
All right, Liana, an occupation previously seen from a Survivor contestant.
I put teacher.
There we go. Teaching time with Tommy. Asia.
Mm-hmm. I also put teacher.
Oh no, they cancel each other out. Mary, did you go with a non-teacher answer?
I put teacher.
Yes.
Let this be a lesson to you all.
Wait, is there another one? Can we like collectively try to come up with another profession that starts with T of someone who's been on Survivor?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of like, because I know there's trades.
Therapist.
That's so smart, Asia.
Was right there. All right. So, Asia, something you need to find or grab in a challenge. After my intelligence, I'm very intrigued to see what comes out.
Their intelligence.
Speaking of their intelligence, tribe mates.
No, that's what I put. Because I was thinking the blindfold challenge, like grabbing your tribe mates.
Same.
All right, Mary, did you also say tribe mates?
I put treasure chest.
Okay, there we go. Throw it back solid to Survivor Borneo.
Yeah.
All right. So here's what the stakes are. Last question. Okay. Mary 11, Liana 10, Asia 9. So basically, if Mary gets this up correct and nobody else does, she ends up winning. But finally, Mary, a reason you would get voted out first.
Okay. I was thinking of my favorite season, Survivor All-Stars, and I wrote Tina Wesson.
Wait, you get voted out because she voted you out or because you are Tina?
Because you're Tina. And you got voted up first.
Boo!
Yeah, I don't know.
Tomato.
Yeah,
alley-oop. We got the ball to you, and you're like, I don't need to dunk this one. Like, I got a trick going, and you Tina Wessoned it, and it just flew out of the court.
It's a verb, right?
Rox Roy is screaming on the sidelines. All right, Liana, what did you write?
I put triflin.
I want them to be in a Y blank loss. They be trifling.
Rule number eight. Don't be trifling.
Trifling. Okay. Triflin. All right. I'll wait to judge. Asia, what did you say?
If you accept trifling, you got to accept talkative.
Talkative is a real reason. I can't go. I cannot accept trifling.
No.
Because what does that even mean?
Messing about. Being messy, you know.
Trifling, you know, just trifling. All right, so congratulations, Mary. Despite that smidge of a fumble at the end, you edged out a win, nearly on the edge of extinction there. But Leon and Asia tied for second place, very closely behind. Truly, we were all the winners for getting to reach into the pores of your brains and figure out what you're asked to do when it comes to finding survivor things with specific letters of the alphabet. Now I want DJ Jeff Probst to say all those things that you recommended he say.
He's gonna
because
say,
we use our intelligence.
My, oh my, my word, that's ridiculous.
All right, who's ready tonight?
Tonight.
That's beautiful.
Amazing. Well, that was a fantastic way. I can think of no better way to end the B&B. To finish things off, you know, what we usually like to do is throw to our guest to see if there is any sort of charity or cause that you would like to highlight while we're, you know, we're goofing around in the B&B to support some very real causes out there in the world. Mary, Asia, I don't know if you each want to suggest one, if you want to suggest one together, but the ball is in your court.
Yeah, so I can do one. So this is the same one I promoted last time. So National Kidney Foundation. My mom actually got a kidney transplant last year after being on dialysis for 6 years. So the donations that go towards the National Kidney Foundation are very helpful to people who are going through dialysis and just giving them the funds that they need in order to make their way to a kidney transplant. So you can just find that at kidney.org.
All right. Amazing. Mary, anything else that you want to promote?
Nothing specific this time, but I want to say everyone, continue promoting your local businesses in your area. I know that a lot of people feel like everything's completely back to normal, but small businesses are still struggling, obviously. So just make sure you spend some time doing that when you choose where to eat or where to shop. Try to do that locally.
Fantastic. Well, this was such a delight. I loved having the two of you on to talk through literally anything and everything affiliated with the Survivor premiere and beyond. So I know Love is Blind is obviously just finished, but you both are busy as all get out when it comes to covering things both on the RHAP network and beyond. So I'll start with you, Mary. How can people follow you on social media to catch up with everything that you're doing? You know, no hologram coming out of an amulet anytime soon, but what are you working on?
Not yet, Mike. Not yet. I'm working on it. Yeah. You can follow me everywhere at Frail Mary. Of course, Big Brother Canada is happening right now, so I'll be covering that for Rob Has a Podcast. Riverdale is about to start back up again, sadly. So you can check out Kowski Cast for myself and Kirsten McKinnis covering that. And I am also right now this week just went on a tour of Forks, Washington. And so my coverage of that experience will be over on Kowski Cast under the Twi-Fight feed there. So New Moon's coming back and we will be having a little fun expose of that trip as well.
Is there any fake blood involved in your trip through vampire country?
No fake blood, but, you know, there was the Bella Lasagna and Ed Bread. So.
No.
You're so dumb. I love that.
I know.
Ever want Bella Swan incorporated into a meat-filled cheesy pastry? My God. All right.
Highly recommend.
Asia, if anyone wants to take a bite into your content, like some Bell Lasagna and egg bread, how can people keep up with what you're doing?
You can find me on Twitter at Asia Like Asia. That's A-Y-S-H-A like A-S-I-A. even though Mary and I have wrapped up the Love is Blind season 2 coverage, that's not the last you'll hear of us. So just keep a lookout, subscribe to the Love at First Sight feed, and you will get more content in the future. So just stay tuned. If you subscribe now, you won't have to wonder when it's going to drop in your feed. And speaking of the Love at First Sight feed, Jason Reed and I are continuing to cover Married at First Sight. We're talking about season 14 right now. We're only halfway through the season. We still have, we're probably not going to finish until May. Honestly, we started it like January, but it's a blast. So if, even if you don't watch the show, come listen to us, come hang out with us, and we have a good time. I'll also be joining Taryn on the Big Brother Canada recap on Wednesday, and also the Survivor Stockwatch. So more Survivor, Big Brother Canada, Married at First Sight, Love is Blind. Just look at my Twitter, and I'll promote it so you can know what's coming.
What? How are there 14 seasons? Do they do 2 seasons a year?
Yes, they do. Okay. Yeah,
they
yeah.
do 2 seasons a year, each of which one about 6 months.
Right. Yeah. Literally, they come out with one at the beginning of the year, and then like July, August time frame. Yeah. And so, the show didn't start until like maybe I think it was 2013, 2014. And they've already cranked out 14 seasons, but it's in a different city every season. So that's how they just do them back to back.
Well, speaking of 14 season shows that seem to not end, Liana, how's RuPaul's Drag Race going?
So on the latest recap, Beth Amon and I just like lost it. I just like, no one's being sent home. They're dragging it out. I don't know why. It's a disaster. But you know, we're just having so much fun talking about it, as you can tell. So follow me on Twitter at LianaRHAP. You'll be tweeting about it. It's in the RuPaul's Drag Race feed. And we will eventually get through it. It's so funny because UK versus the World was on at the same time and it was 6 episodes and is already done. And season 14 has not sent a queen home in the month of March. So we're all just like, okay. Anyway, so that's going on. And also Puya and I are covering The Masked Singer. So that whole chaotic mess is also going on. So check out my Twitter. You can find that or on The Masked Singer feed, I think.
I always peripherally follow The Masked Singer. I do not think, from my estimation, there's no Nightmare Fuel costumes this season, from my perspective.
I don't think so. They got a new costume designer. There's one that's called Jack in the Box, which at the moment is just a box from what we've seen. So who knows what could be in there? I think maybe there could be some promo photos, but I've only seen the show. So yeah, less adult babies for you, Mike.
Yeah, no babies, no also like creepy caterpillars with like pimples on the sides of their faces. So yeah. Luckily, yeah. We can all sleep a little better tonight. So of course, you can follow me at a Mike Bloom type. I plug the interviews that I did with Jackson and with Zach earlier on in the podcast. Going to keep those going as well. Also hopped on to Big Brother Canada coverage as well this past Thursday when we said, oh, Kyle Moore is HOH. What could possibly go wrong? How
Everything.
Wrong we were. Yeah, but it was a very fun time. I proposed to Taryn Armstrong. So sorry, Internet. He's mine now. So be sure to check that out. Then over on Posha Recaps, lots of stuff going on as their Upload, which is an Amazon Prime show, just dropped on Friday. I'm doing daily coverage with Jess Sterling at this point. We are basically nearly done with the season. It has been fast and loose, very loose with the coverage. So check that out if you're into that show, as well as coverage of Lost and other little odds and ends in between. I think Jessica Lisa and I are getting back together to talk some Star Trek this week with the Star Trek Discovery finale. But bringing things back to the B&B, of course, this is just the beginning of the season. Next week, a little TBD on the guests. We're going to pencil in a little Kalish. Speaking of the math of it all, I think we're going to have Jordan Kalish back on because he is chomping at the bit to make us say more stupid phrases. And so the sooner the better. And look, these people are so nutty that you know they're going to be hunting for idols and find something probably next episode. So it's a good time. So I think we're going to have Kalish on. If not, you'll have a surprise guest, I suppose, coming on. But if you have any game ideas for the B&B, we are very receptive of them. And apologies if we do not get to them in the week that you send them. We have a lot of weeks ahead of us, so your game might actually show up in another week, maybe when there are not necessarily as many inspirational things to come up of on the show proper. So send us any ideas when you have them, rhapbnb@gmail.com, or you can use the hashtag rhapbnb on social media to let us know your thoughts about that, any game ideas, etc. Literally like, we will take anything. Any weird idea that you may have, our arms are open. We are going to encapsulate them all and hug them. We're going to be like, hi. We'll be like, yeah, stupid game. Let's like fake blood. Sure, I'll pour it all over myself and then some, and not even ask any questions about it. So send us any thoughts you may have about the season as well as game ideas. Special thanks to Scott St. Pierre for editing everything behind the scenes, and for Will from America for this fantastic theme song. That's going to do it this week for the RHAP B&B. Thank you all so much for listening. Next week, we'll be back to cover episode 2 of Survivor 42. Until then, we'll check you out at your next stay.
Mike and Leona, yeah, they're playing some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the RHAP B&B. Mike and Leona, yeah, they're playing some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name.